me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like,
you know, encourage me the whole way long. Make me say, ow. Y'all, what's poppin', motherfuckers? Yo. It's Thursday motherfucking night. It's 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight in New York, you dumb motherfuckers. You ain't got nothing in your refrigerator. You ain't brushed your teeth in about a week. That's why you tuned into the N, the P, and the motherfucking R. I'm your host,
Nestorius. I'm Simon B with the Rich C, and we're on the radio.
Radio! And that's my man, Deep Voice Rich.
Hello, everybody.
My name is Rich.
Yeah, yo, so, we're bringing it to ya, booyah, taking it to the streets, to the people.
Hey, yo, check this. Check one, check two. Hey, yo, it's 2014. Y'all motherfuckers either are in jail for tax evasion or you paid your taxes. We're in April, the end of April. You know what that means? We've been doing Nestorius Public Radio for a fucking year. You know what I'm saying? A fucking year. Motherfuckers.
1 year.
They'd be chilling out by the bathroom listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show.
Big up to all you sitting around the fire cooking up your crawfish.
Toasting marshmallows, smelling your loved one's toes, man.
Bloop, bloop, big up, big up.
Big up, big up.
Yo, we've been out here for a year, man. We've had a fantastic year. We've got it together. We've got Dennis Quaid on the show, Michael Chiklis on the show.
We had
the
this
rapper.
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
That's right.
We had
Jack McGee.
We had
Mason Pryor.
We had Mr. Rogers.
I'm glad we're together again.
We had all sorts of motherfuckers roll up in
we
this
We had
piece.
Ginger Lynn. We Ginger had Elizabeth Lynn. Rodriguez.
Oh, baby. Elizabeth Rodriguez, absolutely. Yep, you know it.
Yo, rest in peace, Jam Master Jay.
Yo, Jam Master Jay, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's it!
Yeah, so we've been having a good time here in Skid Row Studios, man. Skid Row's motherfucking studios on South Olive in downtown shitty gritty L.A. Hey, yo, check this out. Right before we move forward, if you have a telephone by your house, I know most of you don't, but there's about five of y'all that do. You can call us live 1-800-893-9562, 1-800-893-9562. And if you got your internet signal on, or if you're jumping on your neighbor's internet signal, what you could do is, this is for all y'all that are listening live, not for y'all downloaders. You can go to skidrowstudios.com. There's a little button on the top to watch live video, and you can check us three sexy motherfuckers, you know, making this shit happen live and direct in the raw.
Three raw. MCs and we're on the go. Go, Shaq, rap, me Shaq, Abednego, go.
Rocking on your titties and stereo. Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, the great thing is we've been doing it for a year, and the best is yet to come. Yeah. We're really just getting into our own groove.
Making
shit happen.
Exactly.
So,
right. So we've basically, you know, this whole year has been a learning experience for all of us. I mean, this is the first time first time I've done radio. I mean, I've been on a few other people's podcasts here on SkidRowStudios.com, and I've always wanted to have my own talk show. And that's the beautiful thing about the internet, that all you need is a dollar and a dream, you know what I mean? And a fucking bandwidth signal.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
A dollar, it can even be four quarters in a dream.
Yeah.
A bandwidth signal, a microphone. Well, you know, we're about to kick the shit out of your podcast. Yeah. We're going to take over. We're getting fucking strong. Yeah. We're eating our Wheaties.
Let's do this, brother.
Yeah.
We're eating our fucking Wheaties. We've listened to a lot of your fucking podcasts out
there.
We're
going to do this.
A lot of you can suck my anus because we're coming for your titles, for your thrones. We're NP to the motherfucking R. That's N.P.R.
Right.
That's all caps in case you motherfuckers need to go back and realize.
Right. NestoriusPublicRadio.com, Facebook / Nestorius Public Radio. You know.
Yo, we're social cocksucking fucking media marketing on several multiple platforms.
Anyway, so
he gets very excited about that.
When we were talking about the show.
We're doing stuff.
When we were talking about this particular episode, this is like the throwback episode, you know what I mean? We're talking about our favorite episodes. See, the thing that we aspire to here on this show is that we like to bring, you know, like the knowledge to the street corner ear. You know what I mean? With a little flavor. And we've covered a lot of topics. Sometimes the topics have been a little too heady. You know what I mean? A little bit too ambitious for a 55-minute show. But what we like to do is we like to just bust out in some crazy shit. And that's what our fans have written me about and told me that they love the big ups. You know what I mean? They fans that love the show, man. They love the big ups, and you know the big ups were invented here live on like the first episode one. That was invented here when Rich and I were doing the show. Yeah. We're doing the podcast, and Rich clammed up on me, so I had to just like improvise some big ups.
Big ups to all you Kingston, Jamaica.
That was my very
Uptown
first show.
Jamaica.
I was shy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you forgot that I got to interview.
Yeah, Boomba Clyde.
I got to interview Common.
Yeah.
When I was up in Calgary on Hell on Wheels.
Peace. This is Common, and right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune.
Tell your sisters about that shit.
Yo.
Anyway, so we were talking earlier about one of my favorite. Well, two of my favorite episodes. Well, the first one would be episode 3, which is titled "Tide Twinkies and Fracking," where this is the first episode that Simon was on. This is your first episode, right?
Yeah,
because you weren't on episode 2.
Was I? I think I might have been. No,
I don't know. I don't know.
But no, he was.
He was on episode 2.
Yeah,
I was on 2.
Really? I know you weren't on 1.
I wasn't on 1.
Okay, okay. So okay, let's say for argument's sake you were on 2, but this is the first one that it was just you and I, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was my first one.
No, I think it was your first one.
Okay.
Because so we were talking about, you know, Tide as a currency, as a street currency, because I had read this article where, you know, on the East Coast, in Atlanta, for instance, I believe, like crackheads were, you know, going into grocery stores and taking 50-ounce jugs of Tide and swiping them and, you know, accumulating a large amount of them and then selling them to some Filipino store, you know. Like,
for crack.
Man, that's such a good topic.
I'm so bummed I missed that. No, for cash.
Yeah.
It was for cash. And then the Filipino stores would then again would sell them to warehouses like fucking the 99-cent store or whatever. Not the 99-cent store, but stores like that. And this became like a big sting. Mm-hmm. It was like a big sting operation because... And then the interesting thing about the story, it went into how Tide, over the years, they had developed the scent, and they had developed this, I forgot what it was. It was a chemical.
It's an enzyme.
An enzyme that would break the soil apart. I forgot what it's called. But
they break the soil up, and then
that was
it encapsulates the dirt.
Right, and washes it out.
And doesn't let it stick back onto the clothes.
Right, correct.
That was the big deal.
Correct. That was Tide. And from the 50s, that was their thing.
Yeah.
That was the thing that no other detergent had.
Oh, they were the first ones.
Right.
I remember correctly, Tide, I wasn't even on the show, but I did the research.
Yeah,
you read that. Tide has like 50% of the market or something,
or something
crazy on it. But the second best selling detergent has 50% less market share and is also made by the same company.
Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
Gamble. Cha-ching! Anyway, it was a very interesting story. That's episode 3, Tide, Twinkies, and Fracking. If you're new to NPR and Nestorius Public Radio, check it out. Go back, listen to the episode. But I'm going to continue on that.
But can I add something to it?
Do you know why it became such a racket?
But why Tide?
You know, why Tide?
Why Tide?
Because Tide
is expensive.
Well, Tide
even
is,
for the,
Tide
for
is
the,
expensive.
For the stores.
But also,
the markup is zero. Is like... next to nothing.
Correct. The profit margin between the cost of Tide to a merchant and what the merchant can sell it is probably a dollar, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's how expensive Tide
is. When you get a big fucking jug for $5, you know, the Korean market or Filipino market is gonna triple it.
But also, Tide consumers, they're loyal to Tide. Like Tide, I'm
they
serious.
Hold it, no, they hold it like children. They hold it like a baby.
Whoa, that was
in the article.
Right, but what it is, well, it's shaped like a baby.
Yeah.
It's round. You know what I mean?
So it's soft. It has no hard edges.
So the thing about the article that was interesting is that the Tide chemists, they developed the perfect scent and all that other stuff. They did research, extensive research. Anyway, the crackheads don't know anything about this. This is all for the fucking white motherfuckers that want to know about shit. The crackheads, all they know is economics. All they know is they see a bunch of crackers going into the fucking A&P or Woolies or whatever the fucking Ralphs, and they come out with jugs of Tide that cost about $11 to $17, yeah, depending on the size.
The shitty thing about it is they were just being entrepreneurs, man.
That's
they
it.
Were just doing exactly what everybody else
that's
is
it.
Doing, except, you know.
Well, except they were stealing.
Yeah, well, you
and
know.
And smoking crack. I think those are the two
these
things.
Big companies didn't do any of these things.
I think that's not on the seven habits of highly effective people. Smoking crack, if I remember correctly, that's not one of the entrepreneurial seven habits.
Come on.
The real
they
success.
Do some pretty fucked up nefarious shit at the high levels of these
that's
corporations.
That's what I said on that episode. What I said on that right. episode was if you can sit there and jack all that shit and pull off something elaborate,
right.
you should be able
to go to school
and but do some shit.
You should get
life.
Hired by the government and say, how'd you do this?
Right.
That's amazing.
Right, but then I said, the reason they don't is because you'd have to actually fill out an application, you'd have to show up for an interview, and you'd have to do the footwork. Tide is an easy commodity. You go in, you take it. No one's looking for Tide. No one's going, oh, let's see. Now it's been... You know,
yeah.
People are up to it. Now when you go to a store, you'll see there's a fucking electronic fucking ringer.
Yeah.
There's a ringer on that shit as if it's a...
Like it was an expensive leather jacket.
Like it's a 50-inch fucking plasma screen TV. All right? Go into Walmart, go into Walgreens, go into any fucking place. You will see that the shit is in there. And we were talking about, like why they don't have guards. So I'm going to play a clip. What we did was we extracted clips. So I'm going to play a clip of the top Twinkies and fracking episode. See what we got. Owing like a ton of money. Hold on. Ed McMahon, man, he also passed away. He passed away owing like a ton of money.
The beginning
of the show, we're talking about Ed.
I don't give a fuck, I'm dead.
Right.
Go fuck yourself.
But yeah, he was the dude that was ringing your bell to let you know that you had won $1 million or some shit.
Ring your bell, dude. Yeah, yeah. Ed McMahon, you can ring my bell. yeah. Who cares? The guy went out. Who knows?
No, but I'm saying he was like was it Reader's Digest or Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Publisher's Clearinghouse. Yeah. Ed McMahon shows up at your door with $1 million. Meanwhile, you owe 45% of it in taxes back to the fucking government. All your cousins, your alcoholic crackhead uncles start showing up at your door, wants to borrow
emailing
shit.
You, tweeting
chicks
you.
Start blowing you and then wanting money. Money. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Just stay poor. In other words,
stay broke like Ed McMahon.
Right. Well, not broke like Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon lived large, but stay within your means. That's the message. Stay within your means. Don't try to shoot for the fucking stars on somebody else's dime. You know,
everyone
what I mean?
Wants to be fabulous in this country. It's like, you know, everyone wants to be ritzy and fabulous.
Just that's without a doubt.
Yeah. Start the level you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be fabulous.
Yeah.
In your own living room
with the
plastic covers on your couches.
Yeah.
Start with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be fabulous with what you motherfucking got. Don't try to be fabulous like on some other tip that you don't, you know, that you're not even down with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't try to rock a Bentley when you're wearing like, you know, swap meet Airwalks. Like start where you are.
Right.
Step
right,
up in levels.
Right. Don't try to rock a Mercedes Benz when you ain't even got no dental floss. You know what I'm saying?
You're eating at Skipper's.
Yeah.
You're not flossing. You're eating at Skipper's fish and chips.
Yeah. Don't try to rock, you know, a Coupe de Ville when you don't even got shoelaces to tie your sneakers with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just stay within your means. This is the message. This is part of the message today on the Nestorius Public Radio show. You know, just live within your means. Big up to people who live within their means, man.
Yeah.
Small dreams, man. Big up to you people who work every day. You go to work, you wake up every morning, you pay your motherfucking bills on time. Big up to y'all. Big up to you hardworking Americans. Big up to you people who cook for your children. Big the fuck up. Stay within your means, man. That's what blunts start. The counter argument here is that. So I added that because that was part of that episode. But that was actually the first time when we were talking about the air horn. That was the first time that we did the big up and the air horn in an effective way between you and I, Simon. That's why I included. That's part of that episode, and that actually sets the tone for for future episodes of NPR.
Nice.
Let me continue. This is actually the Tide discussion part of it. Okay, so why don't the retailers lock this stuff up since it's a big problem, right?
Sure, like they lock up razors. Why the fuck do they lock up razors?
Because razors cost fucking $30 for 20 of them. Again, that was something that they used to steal until retailers got smart, right? And so the thing is that, they lock up electronic devices and stuff like that because those are not items that are sold that often. So if you need to buy it, go to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
They come, open up the cabinet, boom. The argument here is that if they were to lock up the Tide, that would contribute to the shopper's time. And the article says they may not want to shop at that store.
Sure, no one wants to go buy Tide, go find a soup guy. Hey, can you open this case up for me? The guy waddles over, the line's backing up now because he can't be over there. Yeah, and you know what they need? You need a Tide guard. Like, you have a security guard is a security guard, but you have your Tide guard who wears his own bright orange Tide. And you don't fuck around, dude.
Right.
And it takes training, years.
Yeah.
Because you got to fight these crackheads,
one
dude.
One big black dude and shit with orange fucking racing windbreaker, be like security. Security Tide.
Yeah, but you have to realize the security guard, okay, what's he deal with? Some ladies yelling sometimes. What the Tide guy has to deal with every day is protecting the Tide from some of the most vile crackheads, thieves.
Oh, my God.
Thieves, organized crime rings, stealing Tide. That's the Tide guard. Tide guard. We'll be there.
Tide man. Oh, man. I could have cut that clip a little bit. That shit was hilarious.
Yo, that's the absurdity of the show, man, because we just pulled that shit out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We just came up with that.
Well, we were fucking around. It just happens. That's the beautiful thing.
Yo, sometimes when you be fucking around, that's just what happens.
Right. Sometimes I rhyme fast. Sometimes I rhyme slow.
What happened was?
My second favorite episode. This is dope. Okay, so this is episode 20. This is my personal favorite. Actually, I think it's my personal favorite. Because it was called the Human Microbiome Profile. So basically, this is a very, very, very thick, meaty, and heady article where they're doing scientific research that says that every one of us has our own microbiome blueprint for bacteria. Like
your own bacteria ecosystem.
Correct. Your own bacterial profile. Like, you have your own DNA, blah, blah.
It's like the projects, but for bacteria. A lot of shit. People going up and down.
It's like urinating in elevators and shit. You know what I mean? Doorbells that don't ring. You know what I mean? But you know
people
how to get
people hanging out in the halls.
Yeah. Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. But, that's so anyway, basically what it's
but
like.
But the interesting thing about it is that they're talking about using your own fecal matter to ingest it into your digestive tract so that you could either lose weight or you could, adjust, all sorts of mental problems and all sorts of things.
You get like a fecal enema.
Right.
Yeah, basically, if certain bacteria of yours has been destroyed, you can take some of your shit and you can reintroduce it into your biome.
Right. You could repopulate
the flora and fauna. That's what your appendix is for, though.
Right. But that shit is useless. Anyway, so we talk about that, but then we start talking about wiping your ass, as always, and toilet paper. And then we talk about the bidet, like how a bidet actually helps clean your ass instead of using paper. And then I explain what a Puerto Rican bidet is. And this shit, I thought this is my favorite. So. Shit sounds
whack, yo.
Shit don't sound right.
Don't sound right.
Nah, shit don't sound right.
No, it don't.
So then we came across this other article about bacteria inside of your digestive tract and how bacteria is supposed to be good for you. And they developed this. Notice how I did the segue from cash, dirty cash, to toilet flush,
yeah,
to bacteria. Yeah. That was, you know, that's a pretty
that's seamless.
That was very artistic. That was a very artistic. How do you call it?
Abstract.
Talking
about strippers,
you have
and
to follow
prior
me
to
that article.
Sorry,
but
strippers and cash.
No, apparently, there's research on bacteria and how bacteria could actually help cure certain ailments, or at least contribute to helping cure certain ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so the article is called "The Ecosystem Inside You." It says your body harbors trillions of bacteria that have profound effects on your health, your weight, and even your mood, right?
Yeah.
So don't bacteria make people sick? Many of them do. And antibiotics that kill them have saved countless lives. But over the past decade, researchers have discovered that the human body hosts 100 trillion mostly benign bacteria, which help digest food, program the immune system, prevent infection, and even influence mood and behavior. The bacteria living on and in us make up our microbiome. So the average person has about 0.14 grams of feces on their urine. Lafsa says.
I just love hearing you say that.
When you wipe, right?
Me?
Oh, boy.
Why are you looking at me?
You, for instance, you're fucking, since you passed the class.
Do you wipe from the front or the back?
It gets a little weird when you like point at me and talk about me wiping my ass. I mean, this isn't a conversation I was prepared to have.
We're talking about bacterium, okay? So what I'm saying is, when you wipe, okay, not you then, Simon, but when you wipe.
Not me, theoretically.
Theoretically, do you wipe until there's no more fucking fecal matter on the toilet paper? Is that how you know that there's no more and you don't need to wipe anymore?
No,
some people, that's their telltale sign. Some people, they're in a rush. They wipe three times and whatever's left over, fuck it. They leave it in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some people are fat and can't reach around that far.
Some people, believe it or not, can't afford fucking toilet paper. I've been to people's houses and I'm like, yo, where's the toilet paper? And they're like, we ran out.
We opted for the newspaper.
I'm like, you ran out? So how do you wipe your ass? So why don't you run out and get some fucking toilet paper? You see?
Using the leftover bags?
No, I don't know.
It was either between toilet paper or upping our Newsweek.
Dude,
so we decided to read the Newsweek and then use it as toilet paper.
When you're a burnout, when you're fucking primary purpose in life is to get fucked up out of your mind. You don't have milk. You don't have cornflakes. You don't have nothing to eat in the fucking cupboard. The last thing you're thinking about is toilet paper. Here's the Puerto Rican bidet. Basically, it goes like this.
The Puerto Rican bidet,
right? You don't have time.
You bust open the fire hydrant.
You don't have time. No, I'm saying, you don't have time to install that Y fucking, you know, connection with the wand.
Right, right.
You don't know any gay men, friends that can, you can borrow their bidet in their house.
An old bottle of fucking Formula 409.
Right. You've never been to Europe, right? So you're shit out of luck. So basically what you do is you go to the bathroom, you wipe a couple of times, right? And, you know, chances are if you're Puerto Rican, you ate a lot of pork and some fucking rice and beans, and the shit is, there's a lot of, you know, backup in there. So you wipe it to a manageable stage. Then you make sure that your underwear and your pants are all the way down to your ankles, and you plop your ass over the tub. Just plop your ass over the tub so you're not in the tub and you don't have to stand in the tub and use the shower. Just run the water.
Right.
Let the fucking water come out of the spout, right? You know, warm water, and just splash the water in your ass. Just splash it in your ass. Use a little soap, clean it,
that
splash.
That should be an R&B song.
Splash
it in your ass.
Splash some more water in your ass. Get up, dry. Splash it in your ass. Splash it in your ass. Splash, 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 splash it in your ass. Splash it in your ass. Splash, 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 splash it in your ass.
The Puerto Rican. like a bathtub. Give it a rub, rub, rub and tug. Yo, 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 we did a lot of drugs. We in the motherfucking shit with the hot water.
Splash it in your ass. Splash, splash, oh splash, God. Splash, splash it in your ass. Splash, 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 splash it in your ass. Oh, that shit is hilarious. That's my but, you know, we were just cutting these clips earlier in the house. I should maybe cut them a little shorter, but, you know, I try to get all the little tidbits in there. But that shit is hilarious. I think that was, like, one of the first times that we started, you know, fucking improvising, rapping and shit with just, like, unrelated shit. That I wish I would have let you go because you were, like, Puerto Rican bathtub. That we said Puerto Rican bathtub doing the rub-rub. Some shit like that.
Yeah, we did a lot of drugs.
It was hilarious. This shit was dope. I loved it. So,
pure genius.
Yo, yo. Hola, hola, mi gente. ¿Cómo está? Soy Papi Chulo. Te quiero decir que tú estás escuchando el Nestorius Public Radio Show.
That's right. Bringing it to you. Back at you. Coming for you.
From the north side to the left.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so you guys, Rich, you said that you had extracted a couple of clips. You can't look for Simon, but I want to get that Ginger Lynn when we were talking about what do you call it? The cookbook, which is towards the end of the interview, right? I'm gonna look it up. Go ahead, Rich. You extracted a couple.
Yeah,
of
I'm
clips,
plugged
right?
in. Hopefully, we're on the right levels.
You unplugged in?
Yeah.
All right, check
yo,
it out.
Yo, check the levels.
We'll adjust it. We'll adjust it.
The levels.
Hey,
the
yo.
Levels.
Hey, yo.
I think
hey,
we're
yo.
Good.
We'll adjust it. Don't worry about it.
All right, here yeah. we go. Well, you know, sometimes we get a little controversial on the show.
Controversy.
So you know,
it's all good.
We got this clip called "American Pussies Medium Rare."
America has become a nation of fucking pussies, right? It's like you can't do anything anymore because you might offend somebody, right? This is not an original thought. Most of us have thought this once in a while. It's like, Jesus Christ. How many times have you gone? Seriously, part of that is that joke is reality, right? How many times have you gone someplace and said, could I get I'd like to get a cheeseburger. Could I get it medium rare, right? And they'll say, no, sorry, we can't do that here.
Right.
Why not? Because, you know, it's the health code. Health code for fucking what? I'm paying for the fucking burger. If I want to get bugs in my ass, I should have the right to fucking get larvae in my ball sack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it always perplexes me. Like, I was in the airport not too long ago. This burger bar, right? This fucking hipster.
Umami.
Umami, at least you can get a medium rare burger. I completely fucking detest these places. But this is like a designer fucking burger joint. Designer my ball sack, okay?
So is that Father's Office? Is that what you're talking about?
Say that again?
Father's Office?
No. Father's Office is another place.
Yeah, that place.
They can suck my dick.
Yeah.
Father's Office. No, nice. Seriously. Yeah. Father's Office can suck my motherfucking ball sack. It's one of those burger joints in L.A. that you have to go. So I asked the dude. That's my man, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for mentioning that. That's another place. So I go in there. I said, can I get a burger? But I don't like blue cheese. Can I get it without it? He's like, very arrogant Asian motherfucker behind the bar. He's like, no, that's how the burger comes. The fucking burger comes the way I want it. I'm paying for it.
It comes the way the chef prepared it.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, but you get the point. It's like, so how many times, I mean, I'm sure that's happened to you, right?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I mean, you are Jewish, right?
Paul Schulze.
So you go into a place and you ask for fucking pork, kosher pork, and they say, no, we don't bless the pork here.
No, we don't have that. I'm just saying, I don't get a medium rare burger. I get it medium.
Right.
Fucking number two, gay. I've never had someone say, no, you can't do that way.
That's never happened to you?
No. It's happened to me, absolutely.
Of course
I've heard
it has.
Many times. And I don't even think it's necessarily indicative of a nation of pussies, although you have a point. It's obviously based on this litigious fucking society that we have.
Litigious, bro? Game. That's a fucking crazy-ass word right there, okay?
No, right. Everyone's so worried about the legal ramifications of everything.
Litigious, you motherfucker!
That just happened to me the other night, though. I went to Stout.
Yeah. They told you couldn't get a burger medium rare?
You I wanted a burger. They have a truffle burger. I said, I want some fucking bacon on this thing. And I go, can I get some bacon on there? I go, no, so sorry, sir. Our burgers come as they are. There are no substitutions.
Fuck you.
I said, hey, can I get a side of bacon? No, because you might put it on the burger.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. They wouldn't give me a fucking side of bacon.
How about you give me a side of bacon because I'm going to fucking lay you down and put my balls in your fucking chest. And I'm going to smack the fucking bacon in your face.
You know what I would have done? I would have ordered a burger with cheese and I would have put it right underneath my fucking balls. And I would have said, I want my balls on the burger. And I would have slapped them on there a couple of times in front of all their patrons.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go there. I'm going to call the manager over. I'm going to order the burger. When the burger comes, I'm gonna call the manager over. I'm gonna take out a can of Bacos. I'm gonna shake the fucking bacon all over.
Dude, I was in Vegas, and I forgot where it was a few years ago, in one of the fucking casinos, in their luncheon place, right? Whatever fucking thing was open at 2 a.m. Could I get a burger, cheddar cheese, medium rare? Sorry, you can't get the medium rare. I can't get a fucking medium rare burger in Vegas. You promote fucking degenerate gambling, hookers, all sorts of. You can get syphilis.
I can get fucking human papilloma virus from the fucking soda fountain.
You can lose your wife. You can lose your house. You can lose your car. But I can't get a medium rare burger.
You can lose your anal virginity.
Fucking bullshit.
At a fucking.
That's what I'm saying.
So we don't want you to take chances conference. Here.
But I'm saying it's
America. We don't
want
you to take chances.
This is America, the fucking country, the you know, land of the fucking free, and you have to be subjected to fucking, you know, establishments, imposing their, you know, I mean, what the, come on, man. I don't get me started.
Yo, you know what it is. You know what the, you know
Yo,
why
you
can't
get
a
meeting. You know what it is. It's the gerbils.
No, it's they know what they're doing, man. The reason you can't get a medium rare burger in Vegas is they've done studies. After you've been on cocaine for 7 days, haven't eaten shit.
Right.
If the first thing you put in your stomach is a medium rare burger,
it's gonna fucking come right out you. That you're
shit.
Have like medium rare burger.
You'll be throwing up and then you won't be at the table. So that's why they don't want that.
That's genius, nigga. That's genius. You won't be at the table. Why? Because you'll be in the porcelain bidet.
Yeah.
Right?
So for any of our listeners out there, don't mix street drugs, cocaine, black tar, heroin,
and
medium rare burgers.
No, but seriously, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. So that's good to know because Stout was one of those places that I thought, I heard it's great on Ventura. Stout can eat my ass.
Let me tell you.
I know the burger,
the burger was good. It was good.
I know, but I'm not going there.
But you know what?
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
They can suck my dick.
They're taking away your individual rights.
You know what other fucking burger joint? Five Guys Burgers. Fuck you.
Fuck one guy.
Yeah,
fuck two guys. Fuck three guys.
Fuck all five of you.
Fuck all five of them.
Fuck all five of you. Go in there.
You got an uncle?
Sir.
You know your uncle? Fuck that guy
No, sir. The burgers come medium. They all come medium, but the meat is juicy. Don't fucking tell me what the meat is, okay?
I want a juicier motherfucker.
I'm paying you, you cocksucker. I'm paying you. I want the burger however the fuck I want the burger.
It's fucking strip mall America. Cities, just strip malls with families walking around trying to protect them from themselves.
What I'm saying is...
Little bumpers everywhere and rails and no left turn signs.
What I'm saying is if you're so concerned about people suing you, then have fucking disclaimer fucking affidavit. So, if I want a medium rare burger,
I heard that there are restaurants that do that.
What's that?
There are restaurants that do that. If you want a steak tartare or you want a fucking blood rare or Chicago blue or something like that, they'll make you.
You sign a waiver that if anything happens to you, it's on you. You know what it is.
A place that doesn't want to do cook their meat medium rare is probably because they're getting their fucking meat from a flea market in war-torn Zimbabwe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
From a guy named Abdu.
Right.
From
with
a guy named fucking Abdu.
Ass.
That puts it on a cart and his daughter helps shovel it on a fucking cart. That's why you don't want to cook it, because you're buying inferior meat. Just because you make a fancy fucking hipster-looking sign, and just because you have a funky-looking menu, doesn't mean you got better food.
Last night, I went to Corky's, one of the shittiest fucking diners in the valley, okay? And they had sliders, and I asked the waitress, who seemed like she just got off of crystal meth, like 3 months ago, like she's on her new path. I said, can I get the, how are the sliders? She said, great. So you can get a medium rare? She goes, I'll tell the chef. I heard her tell the chef, and the motherfucker cooked them medium rare. And the meat did not taste that good, okay? But guess what?
Yeah, they did it.
And guess what? If I get home and my fucking stomach explodes, I'm a fucking responsible American citizen. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fucking take it like a man and sit on the bowl and fucking let it go as long as I want. You know what I mean?
But that's you, man.
Yeah.
That's you. But you know what? But it's the other 90% of the motherfuckers that are just looking for something to fucking see.
They should be shot.
You know, there should just be a golden rule, like just a blanket law saying, listen, if you go into a restaurant and you order your steak in a fashion that could, harm your health, that's on you. If you demand it that way,
sign a fucking affidavit. I mean,
it should just be a rule.
I'm gonna have affidavits right now.
I want eggs, but I don't want them cooked.
Well, what happens is they sell raw fish
in sushi restaurants at fucking thousands of dollars.
Look,
you can get fucking fish larvae up your ass. Have you ever seen fish larvae? You ever seen a YouTube video about a fucking somebody cutting a trout?
Yeah, I've seen their YouTube videos. Those guys are good. That band?
No.
I'm joking.
I didn't know fish had larvae. They're cutting it. Oh, hell yeah, man. Anyway. Let's move on to another clip.
Well, all I'm saying is they don't want the bacteria from the meat to get in the way of the high fructose corn syrup and red 40 in the soda.
Right, and the polyunsaturated fucking monoglutate fucking fats and all that other bullshit. I got it. That you can't pronounce. Right.
All right.
Exactly.
We got another clip.
What's the
next clip? All right. Well, sometimes
good clip, by the way, Rich. Good clip. Yeah. Love it.
Thank you.
Good clip.
Pull out the clip.
Sometimes here at Nestorius Public Radio, you know, we get a little heated. Sometimes there's a little tension.
What was that? Hey, by the way, that was Paul Schulze, who was in that other episode. Paul Schulze's my boy.
Paul Schulze from The Sopranos.
Right, he's been in 50 million fucking TV shows and movies and whatever. He was in the new, I think it was Rambo or whatever the fuck. He played a mercenary.
Or a missionary.
I called him a missionary on the show, the mercenary.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway, go ahead.
So we got this, I call it Three's Argument.
Okay, go ahead.
This next clip is with actor Jack McGee. He played the dad in The Fighter. He was in Gangster Squad.
Right, and he's on a new show on CBS called The McCarthys that he's been shooting, and it's a pilot.
They retooled it, and they did it. Yeah,
yeah, they retooled it, correct. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
You know what's interesting about these guys? You know, you'll see a guy like John Ritter, for instance, that he was in a sitcom, right? 3's Company for so many fucking years. I mean, most of us, except for you, because you were a lint ball.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Your father's unwashed fucking Calvin Klein fucking underwear.
I'm talking to Simon.
The rest of us that were fucking, you know.
Calling him a lint ball.
Yeah, right. You used to wash your balls with fucking
dude, ask me anything about the show. Ask me anything.
Okay, so, all right. So, Suzanne Summers, what character did she play?
Chrissy.
Okay, you pass.
What was the actress to play the dark-haired brunette girl who was her roommate?
That's a good question.
The actress's name?
Yeah, the actress's name.
I don't know any actress's name.
Joyce DeWitt. She was the hotter one.
Big up!
She was the hotter one.
Yeah.
So you can just suck my cock. She was the hotter one.
Yeah.
Everyone goes for the blonde.
What was the name of the neighbor?
The
other neighbor.
What was friends with Jack?
Oh, Don Knotts?
That was the manager.
That was the super. You're talking about the manager.
What was the name of the neighbor?
I don't remember the neighbor. Was he Jewish? Well, I'm thinking that's the only reason you know it.
Yeah.
His name was Dallas.
I remember Dallas.
Dallas, was he gay?
Skinny gay.
That was his name on the show, Dallas.
Was he a gay dude?
I don't know.
Did he replace Larry?
I'm saying the character.
No, he wasn't gay.
Okay, all right.
He was their neighbor that was a real womanizer.
Okay, no.
What's the name of the bar they went to?
I don't remember that.
Wow, there you go, man. He's starting to
pull it
out.
What's the name of the bar they went to?
Okay, we're going to move on right now.
They went to the Regal Beagle.
Don't fucking tell me that shit.
We're moving on. We're moving the fuck on, okay?
Woman was great.
Yeah, we're moving the fuck on.
He
Homeboy just fucking.
I'll take Three's Company trivia for 800.
Knock on my door.
Come and knock on my door. I've been waiting for you.
Three's Company too.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, John Ritter, man, he was a good actor.
What town did it take?
What happened?
What town did it take place in?
Who the fuck knows?
Go fuck yourself.
Santa Monica? At this point, don't try to make up for all the films that you didn't watch by fucking answering retarded, fucking unnecessary, nobody knows questions about fucking Three's Company.
Those were good.
I mean, the main question that was...
Dallas was the neighbor.
Who was her...
Janet.
No, but you didn't know the actress's name.
I don't know those names.
Come on.
Come on, he got Janet. That's a good one, too.
That's a good one. Yeah. All right. I was just reaming you, Russ Simon, for no reason.
That's the best. That's
for no reason,
man.
For no reason.
I can hang.
But you were hanging. You came back like with a bat. You were like, how many pubic hairs did Joyce DeWitt have hanging out of her bathing suit in the episode when Dallas came over to try to play with her titties?
Hey, wasn't his name Larry Dallas?
No, I don't know. His name was Larry. The neighbor's name was Larry.
I gotta look this shit up.
Yeah. All right.
You looked that up. I got another clip.
Okay, set up the clip. What is it about? Those are great clips.
This one's called Lick My Taco, Bitch.
Okay.
We're talking about the taco licking and shit.
Okay,
all right?
Okay.
I'm going to hit this. This is about 5 minutes. All right.
5 minutes?
Anyway, the other thing in the news that came up this week, which is a little disgusting, is the Taco Bell employee licking the tacos.
I love how we go from Brazilian prostitute to more disgusting.
Well, that's it's just licking really... tacos and licking tacos.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I guess you got a point.
How'd you get herpes? My taco.
Yeah. Basically, a Taco Bell employee's social media post of a photo of him licking a stack of empty taco shells has set off a PR mess. Here's a Taco Bell employee who was thinking a bit outside the bun. On Monday, the consumerist, a blog that's a subsidiary of Consumer Reports, posted a hard-to-swallow photo of a Taco Bell employee holding a long stack of about 25 empty taco shells while licking them with his long tongue fully exposed.
Where did this take place, do we know?
They won't say.
I think this was in Texas, no?
Of course it was, because I tell you why. This is what happens when you don't have healthy outlets for children to engage and explore, you know, in sexual manners. This is when they can't go out and have dances. And, you know, the kid's like 15, 16. He's never had a chance to be with a woman. Next thing you know, he's licking tacos.
It's crazy.
And then they post it to their Facebook. That's the ridiculous thing. You know, I mean,
you know what? Anybody who does anything like that and posts their shit to Facebook deserves everything.
Yeah.
Like twice. The fine or whatever, the punishment should be just doubled out of plain stupidity.
Yeah.
I drove drunk tonight and run over a bicyclist. Then you should just get the death penalty because you're obviously not smart enough to make it in this society. Yeah, I mean, come on. When you're doing shit like that, you're going to kill somebody out of your own stupidity.
Yeah, for all you children out there that were born in the political correct world that never had a chance to learn anything about the real world, you don't put crime online. Okay. Next thing
that's
I want to mention.
That's a good slogan.
Yeah, you don't put your crime online. Fuckface. And the other thing is, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe my employee Taco Bell worker would act in such a manner. Why not? Where do you think they're hiring these people? Like, what do you think they're doing? Lining outside the halls of Cornell to grab the kids to come out?
Coming out of church.
Are they coming out of MIT, campus booths? No. These fuckface, you're hiring...
It's 90% people with no conscience.
You're hiring stupid people. You're hiring the... not only are they stupid people, they are the descendants of stupid people.
But don't
you
piss them off, too.
You can trace stupidity back in their family for generations. Like, these are the people you're dealing with. They're young kids. Like... let the kid lick a taco, like, no harm, no foul. I mean, come on.
Lick a taco.
He doesn't get out much. He has the genetic makeup of, like, tapioca pudding. Like, what's he going to do with his life?
Actually, the guy's from Irvine, California.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, his family was really excited when he got the job. They had a picnic. I mean, fucking lick a taco.
Look, if you ask around, you're at a party or you're sitting around, you ask around anybody who's worked fast food when they were younger, they'll tell you stories of what they did or something. somebody else that they witness.
You have
that
to.
Just completely ask around, and you'll never fucking eat out again because it's just gotten worse because the bar keeps getting raised. You know, you see somebody peeing in the ice machine or fucking doing something like that, there's somebody that's going to try and outdo him.
Yeah, dude.
You're going to get your fucking burger like slathered all over, you know, their nuts and they, you know, but the best thing you can do if you're going to do that is just be fucking nice and cool at the drive-thru because they are just looking for any reason to adulterate your food. You're going to get some ass hairs in your shit if you're a dick.
Yeah, I used to work at this restaurant in downtown Seattle and I was like bartending and I used, after work when we shut down the place, I used to bed one of the cocktail waitresses over table 11.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like always the joke, like, you want to meet me at table 11 tonight? Because the cameras couldn't catch it. And so, yeah.
That was a clean table.
If you
table.
Ate at table 11, I'm not going to mention the place, but there's a good chance.
You know, there's a lot of sweat on that table.
Yeah, a lot of good.
And you're going to get a good amount of flora, fauna in your meal that way.
That is
hilarious. You know.
So,
dude, I used to bring.
Moving on with the disgusting food stuff. Taco Bell isn't the only fast food establishment that these kids were doing. There's photos of this one kid.
There was someone peeing in a bowl.
Taking a bath. In the dishwashing you know, taking a bath in the fucking dishwashing thing of the Burger King. And
well, there was another one where somebody was standing in the big plastic bin of shredded lettuce for your burgers. Where was that? That was about a year ago. They were standing there. They took pictures of that. That was one of the first ones that came out.
I've worked so many shit jobs that I have so many fun stories from them. I remember. I was working in Miami at Starbucks when I was living in Miami. And it was this place. It was just packed out. Like, I want to say it was the Grove area in Miami, and like on a Friday night, it was just the line out the door, crazy. So you're so stressed. There's everything going on at once. The garbage cans would overflow onto the floor because we did not have time to go change the garbage cans. It's just more kids coming, and more people coming, and more moms. And in Miami, they don't know how to order Starbucks. You know, they come up and they order like one espresso. Well, okay, well, we changed the whole way coffee was done, so. And they don't get it. You know, they think they're ordering, like, Cuban coffee and shit
Right. Yeah.
So the only thing we do to pass the time was we would just get liquor, rum, and, like, pour it in the drink. So we just get plastered, you know, fun times like that. We were just drunk as shit, serving up your Starbucks coffee, hanging out.
That's true, too, man. We used to do that shit.
Wow.
That's some fucked up shit.
I remember,
man.
Dude, I used to work at this coffee shop in Seattle. We'd have to open the fucking place. We had to be ready and open by 6 a.m., right? So that means we had to be there by like 5:30 a.m. So if we had to be there at 5:30, we'd arrange to get there at 5:15 and smoke a fat joint before we went out. You know.
So you
smoked a fat joint. Dude, I worked at a pizza joint, and this dude was fucking crazy. He would walk by the ice machine, lift up the thing, and spit in it every time he walked by.
Oh, jeez.
Every time he walked by, man. Seriously, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, fuck it.
That was one of your coworkers?
Yeah.
I would have fucking pulled his pants down and urinated down the crack of his ass.
Well, you know the messed up part about waking up?
I'm
going to
say which one, but it was not Pizza Hut.
Man, the messed up part about smoking.
That means it's...
Because we didn't have an ice machine.
Yo, put that...
We didn't have ice machine at Pizza Hut.
Anyway, so we have about 7 minutes. What's your other clip and how long is it?
It's kind of long. Nestor gets tipped on tipping.
Oh, that's we're going to revisit that. There's an episode on tipping. I forgot what it is, but that's a great episode.
Yeah.
I very, very heated. I wanted to play.
Hey, just I got to say something, a clarification real quick, Nestor.
We don't have a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I want to play. You can clarify it. I just want to play Ginger, a little snippet from when Ginger Lynn Allen. Was on the show a couple weeks back. Go ahead, clarify.
Oh, so yeah.
Larry Dallas.
The question was, I said that the neighbor in Three's
dick.
Company's name was Dallas.
Yeah,
and he says his name was Larry. His name was Larry Dallas.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll take Three's Company trivia.
Here's the thing, though.
I'll take Larry Dallas for 400.
I don't think you would get that spot on Jeopardy if you just said Dallas.
I'm going to make a three-hour homemade chili with fresh chopped chilies and onions and cumin and oregano and everything is freshly made.
This is her favorite thing to do.
If I had to say God gave me one gift that I'm the best at, And I paint, I sew, I knit, I do all these.
She blows cooking. Too.
Cooking.
Cooking would be what I would say that
that's
God gave me.
That's a sensual thing.
Cooking. I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
It's my release. It's my therapy.
What do you love to cook?
Anything, everything. If somebody dies, it's usually sweet things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I bake
bakes,
a lot.
Bakes.
I bake a lot. If I'm just passionate, it's a lot of meat-filled things, lasagna, Italian food.
Is that your background, the Italian?
No, I'm German, Irish, and Cherokee Indian.
Nice.
My mother's half Cherokee.
Nice. How about steak? Do you cook good steak?
I make the best steak. Really?
Yeah.
Do you make it? Do you grill it in butter?
Grill it. No butter. Grill it.
You've got to have. How can you not use butter?
There's two different ways of doing it. If I was going to pan sear a steak, I'd use butter and some special seasoning that I use.
Okay.
And then I'd sear it in the butter. Yes.
Okay.
If I'm going to do it in the grill, I get a nice fatty ribeye and I season it with the special thing. No butter needed.
No, you're absolutely right. The seasoning, as long as you season it, the seasoning will keep all the flavor deep inside.
Yeah, and I love steak.
You're turning me on now.
Steak.
Well, you're really getting me going.
You should really love a good steak.
You do.
You should write a cookbook.
We'll hook you up.
Write a cookbook if it's a passion.
I love to cook.
Do it.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There you go. Blame it on Ginger's cookbook.
Yeah. And the way if you fuck it up, it's okay.
If the food's good, if the food's good, blame it on Ginger.
Yeah.
Right. If
you're like, I gained 10 pounds. Blame it on Ginger.
Yeah. I swallowed a toothpick. Blame it on Ginger's cookbook. There you go. So, anyway. I mean. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. You were telling me about it today, Simon. I love Ginger Lynn. She's
wonderful.
She was one of my favorite guests on the show, as was last week's show with Jamal Prophet Coleman, rap instructor at the Musicians Institute. Those are my two favorite interviews. But Ginger Lynn's show here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. on SkidRowStudios.com is fucking, it's got something for everyone. And if you ain't got nothing going on at that time slot, I would definitely recommend tuning in live and watching the video. It's fucking outrageous. But she's a sweetheart. You gotta love her.
Yeah, we gotta get on that show. She does that Wednesday one with Ro.
I'm going to get on the show with Ro. I should ask her if you should get on it. That way we're both on it as representatives of the N, the P, and the motherfucking R.
Bumped into Ro at John Lovett. She told me to hit her up about it. So.
You know what? I'll tell her that you and I are, that you're on this show, whatever. Anyway,
we'll figure it
out. So, what else? What was one of your favorite Simons? I mean, I did the clips. You're just there jerking off, talking about Larry fucking Dallas.
Well, I think we told the history of Cinco de Mayo was really funny.
Right. That was episode, I think.
Well, I just, listen, you know, when people get on the mic
on the mic?
When different people come together in a room to try to do a show, I really look at the last year as kind of like the minor leagues, getting us set up, you know, practice run of getting our flow and our swagger.
Right.
That's without the R. That's a S-W-A-G-G-A, swagger.
Right, swagger.
And now the best is yet to come.
That's episode 4.
We're about to
blow
up.
That's episode 4, by the way. Cinco de Mayo, Koji barbecue truck, taco truck, and the legalization of cock rings. There's some pretty good shows there, though, man. Some really good shows.
Listen,
in between the shows, when we were on hiatus, I put together some mixtapes for you. It's a little flavor for your ear. You know what I'm saying? And I did some hip hop. I did a little dance music, a little, you know, jerk off background music. Anyway, you know, shit like that.
Right.
So Cinco de Mayo. But like he was saying, we had Mason Pryor discussing his background with his father, you know. That's pretty much a good fucking year. We're going to have Ginger back on our show. We're going to have Simon go on Ginger's show and take off his clothes. That's what she told me. She basically said that's the only way you're going to get on her show.
On the air or off the air, she told you?
No, she told me that off the air and on the air. But she said the only way you're going to get on her show is if you got to get naked. I said, I'm not getting naked, but you are. But you can do it. You know what I mean?
I better get some.
So so what other show? What other show did you? Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, we did some pretty cool clips. So, you know, tell your friends about NPR. You know, if you haven't already done so, go to iTunes, iTunes Store podcasts. Look at NPR, Nestorius Public Radio, and subscribe. And if you're already a subscriber, make sure that your preferences are set to automatically download new episodes. You got to go to iTunes' preferences under iTunes, and you got to set that up. Just a little school, you know, a little schooling for you, because, you know, you want to get all the downloads as much as possible. You got to support the Negroes and support all the other shows here on SkidRowStudios.com. You know what I mean? Because shit is live and die motherfucking wrecked. You know what I mean?
Nah, I mean.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it for us. Y'all, peace. Thanks for tuning in.
Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me.